You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alrighty, welcome to a bonus episode of the Celtics Dump Podcast. I'm Cameron Tipfai. In a moment, through the matchup editing, we're going to be transported to the back halls of the field house here in Indianapolis at All-Star Weekend, where I caught up with ESPN's Tim Bontemps. I asked him, I said, hey, you run this straw poll of MVP voters. You've become the first and last word on in-season MVP conversations. What do you know about the MVP voters? What do you know about what MVP voters prioritize? What do you know about the state of the MVP race? And we ended up talking shop about basically everything MVP, from Jason Tatum, from Nikola Jokic, from what voters prioritize, what they don't prioritize. So this was a really cool look at how to think about the MVP race in the NBA. So I will tell folks that the Celtics Lab podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. I will say preemptively, thank you for listening, like, and subscribe. And thank you to Tim Bontemps, who I really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you do too. So sit back, and I'm not going to say relax, because it might bother some people, some of the conclusions that we come to about the MVP race and Jason Tatum's place in it. But please enjoy my conversation with ESPN's Tim Bontemps about how MVPs are picked in the NBA. All right, Mr. Bontemps, you've been running the straw poll for, 6 years now?
Good question. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 24, 8 years.
Okay.
Across 8 seasons.
So across 8 seasons, you've been polling a mock electorate of would-be MVP voters. And I want to ask you about what you've learned about the psyche of an MVP voter. But first, where'd you come up with this idea?
In 2017, the year that Westbrook won, Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, there was a very heated MVP race between Russ, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and LeBron James. And there was a lot of talk in early March about how the race might play out. And so I just said, well, if nobody really knows how it's going to play out, let's poll people and see how it goes. So I asked a bunch of people that year, and I think James Harden had the most votes in that poll. That was in early to mid-March. And then over the next few weeks, Russell Westbrook had all these dramatic clutch shots to win games, including most famously the game. He set the triple-double record. I think he guaranteed he'd average triple-double of the season, or set the triple-double record or something in Denver, including hitting this game-winning shot. I think it was a 50-point triple-double, and he got a standing ovation from the crowd in Denver. And, the combination of the narrative of him carrying OKC to the playoffs without KD and him making all these plays in the clutch and all this stuff, it ended up lifting him over the line to win the award. And that was when I was at the Washington Post, so I did it again the next year, and then I switched jobs, and I didn't do it that following season. But then starting with what ended up being the pandemic shortened season, 1920, brought it back again. And then after the pandemic sort of refined it, and now we've got it in a place where it's, really try to model it after the actual vote as much as possible. And, it's got a bit of a following. It's been a fun little thing to do throughout the year.
Yeah, so humbly, to borrow a Jason Tatum phrase, it's something of an institution in the NBA calendar now. I mean, as someone who makes content, thank you. It's great. But it also, I suppose, it's kind of like a dog chasing its own tail, and that we talk about media narratives really anchoring the MVP race
And now we have this like institutionalized, let's have a conversation iteratively through the season. So I want to ask you more again about the psyche of the MVP voter, but I think because you said the buzzword, how much do you think narrative like really does drive an MVP race?
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, it's to win, it isn't the most outstanding player award, right? If you were just naming the best player, it was pick the best player, the vote would probably be different every year than it is, right? By saying the most valuable player, you make it into a situation where there isn't a set criteria for how you are supposed to vote for it. It's just pick the most valuable player in the league. Well, you could say the most valuable player in the league is the best player in the league. You could say the most valuable player in the league is the guy who created the most wins for the best team, right? Like the best player on the best team is therefore the most valuable player in the league. You could say that there's some guy who lifted his team up from a level they should be a team that's out of the play-in and they finish sixth. Like that's the reason, right? Like it's really a matter of whatever each individual voter decides is their criteria for it. And that's why it makes for such a compelling discussion point throughout the season, because there isn't really a right answer. You know, like usually, like this year, there's several very deserving candidates that if you wanted to vote for any of 6, 7, 8, 9 guys as your first place guy, it's a perfectly good argument to do so. But, you know, that's why it's a compelling discussion and why everybody talks about it so much and why this thing, you know, gets attention when I put it out, because people are very curious with how it's going to shake out and who's going to win. Because ultimately, you know, as Joel Embiid said to me earlier this year when I talked to him for a story about it, MVPs and championships are, when we're talking about the top of the top, those are the things that really determine all-time greatness. That's why this stuff matters, and that's why it's fun to talk about.
So your colleague, Brian Windhorst of The Hoop Collective, he ruffled feathers among Boston Celtics fans when he said, hey, look, I think people think about the 22 finals when they think about Tatum's candidacy. And I don't think he was suggesting that he necessarily feels that way, but he was saying his sense of talking to people who are MVP voters, that's just something on their mind. Not Brian's own perspective on that, but that idea writ large, first of all, fair or foul, and does that even matter?
Yeah, I don't agree with Brian. I told him as much on our pod that you referenced. James Harden has had all sorts of playoff failures, right? And he finished first or second in MVP, I think, 5 out of 6 seasons in a row, right?
Yeah.
The one year he didn't was when they were 500, right? So James Harden was universally considered one of the 5 best players on the planet. And I think that is much more indicative of where you land at the top of this poll. And I think, you know, Jason Tatum is, like I've said this a bunch, and people in Boston got mad at me. I think Jason Tatum's a fantastic player. I think he's more in the range of, like, the 6th to 8th best player on the planet than the 1st to 5th best player on the planet. And generally, if you look over the history of who wins MVP, it's one of the top 5 guys, right? So, and I think the fact that Jason has been sort of consistently somewhere between, like, 4th and 6th every year in MVP sort of reflects that, right?
Yeah, he's been that's a good data point.
He's been the best player on one of the best teams consistently, but his numbers aren't quite as good. And yes, I know you could say usage rate is part of it, but, like, his numbers aren't quite as good as Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid and Luka Doncic, right? And he doesn't also quite, and this is the one thing that I think narrative plays a part in. I think he and Donovan Mitchell both, to differing degrees, have never really got the benefit of lifting a team up.
Yeah.
Right? Because they both came into the league on teams that were successful. And they've always been on really good teams.
Happy Super Bowl to all who celebrate from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel has so many ways for you to end the season with a W. Not only can you bet on who will win Super Bowl 58, but FanDuel also has bets which players will score a touchdown, how many points will be scored, and so much more. New customers join today, and you get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Boston to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Whereas a lot of these guys, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is a great example, right? He, you know, I think has probably seen, he was first team All-NBA guard last year. He's probably seen a little bit higher than Tatum, even though he hasn't had playoff success. But they're roughly in the same range. But the Thunder are an ascending team, right? And that's where the narrative part comes in. It's like they have a team where he's 25. The other four starters are 24 to 21. And they have a chance to have the best record in the Western Conference. The Celtics have quite, you know, everybody sort of universally thinks they have the most talented six guys in the league, right?
Yeah.
And so they're the best team in the league, but they also have the most talented team in the league. And so if Jason Tatum had been on a Celtics team that won 32 games his first 2 years and then started to ascend, then it'd be like, oh, Jason Tatum is lifting Boston to a new level. But when you're playing in the conference finals as a rookie, you don't get that same benefit of sort of like carrying the team on your back.
Yeah, his career started, the Celtics were in fifth gear.
Yeah, right. So like, which I think that to me is more of a, if you want to ding, and like dinging him is not the right way to put it, but like I think if you look at how he hasn't maybe gotten the benefit of a narrative push, I think it's more from he never got the chance to say he like brought a team from zero to hero or from the bottom to the top. Instead, it was, like you said, he started his career in fifth gear on an awesome team, which has meant he's had a ton of huge moments. But, yeah, I just never really thought that was the case with Brian. Also, like Donovan Mitchell said the same thing. I don't think anything that had to do with their play in the playoffs last year is why he finished seventh or eighth in this version of the straw poll. I think he's a fantastic player that's just not quite of the level as Nikola Jokic and Giannis and Luka and Shai and Kawhi Leonard, and like those are the top five guys, you know, like if you're just picking guys, you're probably taking those five guys. So like I think so, yeah, it's, but it, you know, this is why it's an interesting thing, right? Because it isn't, some of it is just pure talent and some of it is narrative. Like I do think for a guy like Nikola Jokic, people are hesitant to give a guy a third MVP.
Yeah, that puts you in really rarefied air.
Yeah, like there's six guys ever who have won three MVPs in 4 years. It's Wilt, Russell, LeBron, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and I'm now blanking.
When in doubt, guess Bob Pettit.
Who was not Bob Pettit. That's a good Hoop Collective reference. The two guys who didn't, who have won six, or have won three or more. Oh, and Kareem.
Yeah.
The two guys who didn't, who have won three or more, are Moses Malone and Michael Jordan. Those are the eight players of all time who have won three MVPs or more. So you're talking about, like, the most inner circle Hall of Fame guys.
Yeah.
Right? Like Kobe Bryant didn't do it. I don't think Tim Duncan did it. Shaq didn't do it. Right? There's, like, an incredible list of players who didn't do that.
And
so,
Jokic has one title. He's 27, 28.
Yeah,
like
he's
not
going to have an all-time great resume. Like that's a thing. He's in. He's entering his prime, arguably, especially as a big who is not like athleticism is a huge part of his game.
Yeah, he's not.
Like, he's going to have a potentially very long prime. Like he could win. He could win several titles. He could win several MVPs. He could be considered one of the five or six best players of all time, maybe or better. Right. So like that's where, like, so you got to clear a bar with that, but. You know, then you've got, like, the Shai narrative. You've got, you know, I think Giannis with the Bucks team that has certainly had a lot of drama around it this year. He's having arguably his best season.
Yeah.
But I think it will be extraordinarily difficult for him to win MVP for that reason. And then you've got Luka Doncic, who is maybe having the best statistical season of anybody and is universally considered a top five player. But his team is, you know, right now in the play-in. You're probably not winning MVP if you're in the play-in.
Right.
So, like... It's
And we haven't even said Kawhi yet, and Kawhi is increasingly making the case that he hits 65 games.
Yeah, who's having a fantastic year, and he's had all these injuries, and he's healthy and playing great, right? So all of this, this is a very roundabout discussion, but it's also sort of emblematic of the entire thing, where you can, you know, we didn't mention Jalen Brunson, who's had an incredible year for a Knicks team that has, like, really been captivating and playing great. And, you know, we barely talked about Donovan Mitchell. We barely talked about Tatum, who are having fantastic seasons for great teams. Like, the league is just full of talent and full of great players. And, you know, people get very upset about this award every year. And I often just want to say, you know, there's just a lot of awesome players. It's not a crime to finish sixth behind these guys. Like, you know, they're great, great players. So, you know, like I said, it makes for a fun thing. And, you know, I think the voting pool is a lot more sophisticated, like the league itself, than it was 10, 12 years ago when I started. I think people really care. They really pay attention. You know, people study a lot of advanced numbers. They watch a lot of games.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like the culture of revealing who your picks were and, like, backing that up maybe feels heightened or more transparent. That might be a recency bias thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think people usually would always say, like Gary Washburn said when he was, like, we wrote a column explaining why he voted for Carmelo back in the day. And LeBron, he was the one person who didn't vote for LeBron, which, again, I thought at the time was totally fine. Like, Carmelo finished third. He had a great year for the Knicks of only 54 games. Like, that was a totally fine vote. But, yeah, I think the fact that everybody sees the votes later and, like, everything is so online now, like, I do think that causes people to think about what they're doing. But, like, more than anything else, I just think because of League Pass and the internet and, like, all, like, it used to be, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you have people would be working covering the league every day, but you would only see, like, you'd see Larry Bird come through your town once. You'd see Michael Jordan come through your town once. You'd see Kobe Bryant or whoever come through your town once or twice. And you have to, like, you know, you'd kind of get snippets of them on national TV. But now, you know, I mean, you know this. You watch, like, you go to a lot of games at the Garden, and then you go home, and there's five games on at night.
We're watching games during press conferences.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable content.
There's just stuff going on. Yeah, like, you know, the night that Joel Embiid scored 70 points, we were in the locker room. He and I both had on our phones the Karl Anthony Towns going for 62, and, like, we were watching to see if he was going to also get the 70. And that was happening the same night at the same time, right? So, yeah, I just think there's so much more data from film and games and stats and analysis standpoints for everybody involved that I think it's just way more sophisticated across the board. And frankly, I think the voters do a really good job. And, like, I don't think it's very rare when you look back and go, they really messed that up.
Yeah.
You know, like, generally, it's, you could maybe say another guy could have won it too, but I don't think we're ever going to have a year where it's like, I can't believe this guy won, or it's a crime that so-and-so didn't.
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years are proof positive. If you look at any metric between Giannis and Embiid and Jokic, you can, like, plausibly make a case for any one of them.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Absolutely. I voted for each of them, each different one, each of the last 3 years. And I thought about all three of them each year. No question.
So let me get you out of here on this. Now that you've done this, what do you think are, like, the three things that the voters prioritize, and maybe a thing or two that you think are, like, consistent biases?
I'm you're probably going to sound like I'm probably going to think I'm ducking your question, but I don't.
I mean, this is hard-hitting journalism, right?
No, but I just don't. I don't really think that. I don't really know if any of that applies necessarily, right?
Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, I don't think there's any, I haven't really noticed any, like, quote-unquote biases in terms of things people do or don't vote for. I mean, I think, like I said, I think the one...
No, but like, I mean...
No,
not,
but I
not
think
like
the
a,
one... I yeah. think the one thing is, like I said before, I think people are sort... I think it's not easy, but it's... There's not a lot of thought in a guy winning two.
Yeah.
To get past two requires effort. Like that, I think, like the bar does raise.
That's when the season is not in isolation.
Yeah, I think that's the one that sort of consistently stands out. You know, like people have tried to talk about the playoff success thing, but like Giannis, I think, had won maybe one playoff series before he won in 2019 the first time. Steph had won one playoff series, I think, before he won in 2015. You know, LeBron, I got to the finals year before the first time, but like, I don't think there's any kind of stuff like that. Like, I think Shea could very well win this year, and he's never won a playoff series. So I don't think that necessarily factors in.
So what are the things that people prioritize? Or like if they say they feel like they're in a tie, what are the tiebreakers?
Team success certainly matters. Like, I do think, you know, like in baseball, we've seen some guys on pretty bad teams win, like create enough like value through WAR and other metrics where they're like, that's become sort of a, baseball sort of turned it into, which I don't think is wrong, that
a best player
basically
award.
In baseball, everything you can basically determine all value across the board.
Yeah.
So we can very clearly say this guy is the most valuable player. And you can sort of just run a baseball reference search and pick who's going to win. I don't think that really is the case in basketball, but I do think team success matters. I think you have to be on a good to very good team. I think Luka's a good example. Like, if they were in the top four, I could see him being in first pretty easily, right? But they're in seventh, and they probably can't get higher than fifth. So if it's, say, Denver, Oklahoma City, Dallas, third, fourth, and fifth in the West at the end of the season, I could see Luka getting right in the mix because then there's no real difference in the standings. So obviously individual success matters. I think team success matters. And, you know, I think in general, other than the three MVP thing, I don't think there's a lot of biases, but I just think it, you know, it's like anything else. It's as the season plays out, different contours emerge and how the race is going and who's, you know, sort of standing out as the story of the season. And, you know, for like a team like Oklahoma City, it's a great story. And if they finish with the second best record in the league with a starting lineup of guys 25 and under, and the guy who's the best player is awesome, like, that's a pretty compelling package to say that guy's the most valuable player in the league. Because you don't expect that team to be in that spot. And, you know, but the fun thing about this is coming out of the second straw poll, I guess it was Wednesday. Yeah, it's been a long
Tuesday. Like a month ago, yeah.
It's a long week. It was just 6 days ago. I thought it went largely how I expected, and I also think that there's several guys who have a real chance to win.
Yeah.
And I think sort of what happens over the next 6 weeks will probably tell us who's going to win the award in when the voting's done in mid-April. But it's become a fun thing to do and makes for a fun talking point for us to have throughout the year.
Sure. Well, for anyone who's wondering, Jason was asked about this yesterday at All-Star Weekend, and he said, I guess I have some work to do. So he knows he's in the sixth-ish place, and he's
got some...
Sounded
like he had heard what Brian said.
He definitely had heard what Brian said. Well, Tim Bontemps, among other things, you do the MVP straw poll, you're on the Hoop Collective, and what's your job title at ESPN? My editor says don't use insider. How do you refer to yourself? Hey, Justin. Hey, what's up, Justin?
How do I refer to myself? I mean, I'm a combination of stuff, I guess. I do a bunch of league-wide stuff. I cover the Eastern Conference for us. So, I don't know. I usually just say I'm a reporter.
Just a reporter.
Pretty, it's sort of whatever needs to be done on the day. It's a wide range of stuff, as you know. League's never boring.
Well, anyone who's listened this far in or read this far in knows your bona fides, so I'm sure they don't really care about your LinkedIn. All right, Tim Bontemps, thank you. And just for fun, who do you think's going to win All-Star MVP? I've got Dame or Steph. I think they both won it the most.
Dame or Steph.
Although Steph's not starting, right?
No, he's not. I think Tyrese Haliburton is going to win MVP. Usually it comes down to who wants to win, and Tyrese has done a very good job of getting himself out there this year, and as long as his leg is healthy and he's not too tired from doing everything this weekend, I think he'll make a push for it. He's starting, which is a big thing. Like Tatum, I think, was correct yesterday in trying to think of who was starting in the game, and he's a point guard, he's going to have the ball a lot. And we've seen a few other guys win as a hometown guy, Anthony Davis most notably that I can remember. So I could see, but the more I think about it, LeBron has won like several All-Star games in a row. So I'm trying to think of who's a younger guy. Like, Anthony Edwards would be interesting, but he's talking about shooting left-handed the whole game.
Yeah, that was kinda something else.
Kind of hard to pick him.
Scotty Barnes seems like he's doing his own thing.
I'm going to stick with Alvin. Because ultimately, it comes down to motivation. And I do think he is particularly motivated, so why not?
Sure, I'll take Dame, and we'll see what happens. We'll see the finish line. All right, Tim, thanks again.
Anytime.